You're listening to the Space Show of Andrew Rennie. 5.5 hours ago, President Obama delivered his State of the Union speech to the United States Congress. Messages to the Congress are mandated by the United States Constitution. And we quote, "He shall, from time to time, give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient." End quote. Well, George Washington interpreted the phrase "from time to time" to be annually. With a few exceptions, this has been the practice since 1790. In recent times, activities in outer space have often had a place in the speech, usually in the context of what the president would like Congress to fund. This year, there was not even one indirect reference to space activity. Obama stuck to healthcare, medical insurance, minimum wages, job equality, and support of serving military and their families. On the international front, he made a plea to Congress to give diplomacy a chance. Here's an extract of what he said.
"And it is American diplomacy, backed by pressure, that has halted the progress of Iran's nuclear program and rolled back parts of that program for the very first time in a decade. As we gather here tonight, Iran has begun to eliminate its stockpile of higher levels of enriched uranium. It's not installing advanced centrifuges. Unprecedented inspections help the world verify every day that Iran is not building a bomb. And with our allies and partners, we're engaged in negotiations to see if we can peacefully achieve a goal we all share, preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon." "These negotiations will be difficult. They may not succeed. We are clear-eyed about Iran's support for terrorist organizations like Hezbollah, which threatens our allies. And we're clear about the mistrust between our nations, mistrust that cannot be wished away. But these negotiations don't rely on trust. Any long-term deal we agree to must be based on verifiable action that convinces us and the international community that Iran is not building a nuclear bomb. If John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan could negotiate with the Soviet Union, then surely a strong and confident America can negotiate with less powerful adversaries today." "The sanctions that we put in place help make this opportunity possible. But let me be clear. If this Congress sends me a new sanctions bill now that threatens to derail these talks, I will veto it. For the sake of our national security, we must give diplomacy a chance to succeed. If Iran's leaders do not seize this opportunity, then I will be the first to call for more sanctions and stand ready to exercise all options to make sure Iran does not build a nuclear weapon. But if Iran's leaders do seize the chance, and we'll know soon enough, then Iran could take an important step to rejoin the community of nations, and we will have resolved one of the leading security challenges of our time without the risks of war."
Faced with a Congress that has stymied many of its initiatives, 2014 is not a year for Obama to advocate new projects in space. That was not the case 30 years ago this week when President Reagan reported on the State of the Union. However, the concept he advocated to Congress has taken 30 years to come to fruition. On this evening's The Space Show, we look at Reagan's Space Station Initiative. And last week it was announced that the operations of the International Space Station would be extended by an additional 4 years until 2024. The idea of a space station has been around since the 1800s and was popularized and promoted by Wernher von Braun in the 1940s and 1950s. A space station is defined as a manned artificial satellite built in orbit from materials ferried up by rockets. Under this definition, the American Skylab and the Soviet Soyuz of the 1970s do not count as space stations. The first American president to advocate the construction of a space station was Ronald Reagan. By the time he assumed the presidency in 1981, the space shuttle was 3 months away from its first flight, having been delayed by some years. A space station was just a gleam in the eyes of NASA planners. America in 1981 was undergoing a period of huge inflation, spiraling debt, and high unemployment. This was the background to Reagan's first State of the Union speech, delivered to a joint session of Congress on 1981, February the 18th.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, distinguished members of Congress, honored guests, and fellow citizens. Only a month ago, I was your guest in this historic building, and I pledged to you my cooperation in doing what is right for this nation that we all love so much. I'm here tonight to reaffirm that pledge and to ask that we share in restoring the promise that is offered to every citizen by this, the last best hope of man on earth. All of us are aware of the punishing inflation, which has, for the first time in 60 years, held to double-digit figures for 2 years in a row. Interest rates have reached absurd levels of more than 20% and over 15% for those who would borrow to buy a home. All across this land, one can see newly built homes standing vacant, unsold, because of mortgage interest rates. Almost 8 million Americans are out of work. These are people who want to be productive. But as the months go by, despair dominates their lives. The threats of layoff and unemployment hang over other millions, and all who work are frustrated by their inability to keep up with inflation.
The president went on to talk about savings projected for government spending. This included belt tightening at NASA.
Now, this will bring a savings of $1 billion next year. The space program has been and is important to America, and we plan to continue it. We believe, however, that a reordering of priorities to focus on the most important and cost-effective NASA programs can result in a savings of $250,000.
Now, perhaps when he said a quarter of $1 million, he meant a quarter of $1 billion, as even $250,000 would be barely worth mentioning. Anyway, 1981 was not to be the year to ask for increased space spending or to moot new initiatives. The 1982 and 1983 State of the Union speeches made no mention of space activities. By 1984 January, the economy was on the mend, and Reagan was proud to claim that economic recovery for his administration.
Mr. President, distinguished members of the Congress, honored guests, and fellow citizens, once again, in keeping with time-honored tradition, I have come to report to you on the State of the Union. And I'm pleased to report that America is much improved. And there's good reason to believe that improvement will continue for the days to come. You and I have had some honest and open differences in the year past, but they didn't keep us from joining hands in bipartisan cooperation to stop a long decline that had drained this nation's spirit and eroded its health. There is renewed energy and optimism throughout the land. America is back, standing tall, looking to the 80s with courage, confidence, and hope. The problems we're overcoming are not the heritage of one person, party, or even one generation. It's just the tendency of government to grow, for practices and programs to become the nearest thing to eternal life we'll ever see on this earth. And there's always that well-intentioned chorus of voices saying, with a little more power and a little more money, we could do so much for the people. For a time, we forgot the American dream isn't one of making government bigger. It's keeping faith with the mighty spirit of free people under God. As we came to the decade of the 80s, we faced the worst crisis in our post-war history. In the 70s were years of rising problems and falling confidence. There was a feeling government had grown beyond the consent of the governed. Families felt helpless in the face of mounting inflation and the indignity of taxes that reduced reward for hard work, thrift, and risk-taking.
By this time, 1984 January, the space shuttle was operational and had scored a quite remarkable series of achievements. At the urging of NASA officials, Reagan was persuaded that now was the time to initiate a space station project. 30 years ago this week marks the time when a space station officially became a United States government priority.
Our second great goal is to build on America's pioneer spirit. I said something funny? I said America's next frontier. And that's to develop that frontier. A sparkling economy spurs initiatives, sunrise industries, and makes older ones more competitive. Nowhere is this more important than our next frontier, space. Nowhere do we so effectively demonstrate our technological leadership and ability to make life better on Earth. The space age is barely a quarter of a century old, but already we've pushed civilization forward with our advances in science and technology. Opportunities and jobs will multiply as we cross new thresholds of knowledge and reach deeper into the unknown. Our progress in space, taking giant steps for all mankind, is a tribute to American teamwork and excellence. Our finest minds in government, industry, and academia have all pulled together, and we can be proud to say we are first, we are the best, and we are so because we're free. America has always been greatest when we dared to be great. We can reach for greatness again. We can follow our dreams to distant stars, living and working in space for peaceful economic and scientific gain. Tonight, I am directing NASA to develop a permanently manned space station and to do it within a decade. The space station will permit quantum leaps in our research in science, communications, in metals, and in life-saving medicines which can be manufactured only in space. We want our friends to help us meet these challenges and share in their benefits. NASA will invite other countries to participate so we can strengthen peace, build prosperity, and expand freedom for all who share our goals. Just as the oceans opened up a new world for clipper ships and Yankee traders, space holds enormous potential for commerce today. The market for space transportation could surpass our capacity to develop it. Companies interested in putting payloads into space must have ready access to private sector launch services. The Department of Transportation will help an expendable launch services industry to get off the ground. We'll soon implement a number of executive initiatives, develop proposals to ease regulatory constraints, and with NASA's help, promote private sector investment in space. And as we develop the frontier of space, let us remember our responsibility to preserve our older resources here on Earth.
That speech didn't result in an orbiting working space station by 1994. Rather, the speech initiated a decade-long process of political infighting, industrial competition, and numerous plan changes that sent the cost of the project soaring out of sight. By 1985, February the 6th, the president's priorities had moved on to beating the drum about reducing government regulation and taxes. The mentions of space were less visionary and more practical. At this time, experiments were being carried out in manufacturing new materials and pharmaceuticals aboard the space shuttle. NASA officials were very upbeat about the prospects of factories in space. O'Regan bought into this optimism.
Our second American Revolution will push on to new possibilities not only on Earth, but in the next frontier of space. Despite budget restraints, we will seek record funding for research and development. We've seen the success of the space shuttle. Now we're going to develop a permanently manned space station and new opportunities for free enterprise, because in the next decade, Americans and our friends around the world will be living and working together in space. In the zero gravity of space, we could manufacture in 30 days life-saving medicines it would take 30 years to make on Earth. We can make crystals of exceptional purity to produce supercomputers, creating jobs, technologies, and medical breakthroughs beyond anything we ever dreamed possible.
The experiments aboard the shuttle showed that the crystals and medicines could be made here on Earth. There was no need for factories in space, nor would they be economical. Even aboard today's International Space Station, a lot of research takes place, but no routine manufacturing. By the time Ronald Reagan and his scriptwriters were preparing the 1986 State of the Union speech, America had achieved 37 straight months of economic growth. The plan was to use the speech to sing the praises of his administration's achievements. Then, on January the 28th, Space Shuttle STS-51L exploded during ascent, killing all seven astronauts aboard the Challenger. Reagan begged Congress permission to delay his State of the Union speech and instead delivered a tribute speech to the nation. The State of the Union address was rescheduled for February the 4th. His opening remarks referred back to the tragedy, still fresh in everyone's mind.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, distinguished members of the Congress, honored guests and fellow citizens, thank you for allowing me to delay my address until this evening. We pause together to mourn and honor the valor of our seven Challenger heroes, and I hope that we're now ready to do what they would want us to do. Go forward, America, and reach for the stars. We will never forget those brave seven, but we shall go forward.
He was about two-thirds of the way through his speech before he again referred to space. He linked the vision for an American future in space with his crusade against the permissive society. He refers to a space station that at the time was mired in competing designs and lack of proper funding.
And tonight, I want to speak directly to America's younger generation, because you hold the destiny of our nation in your hands. With all the temptations young people face, it sometimes seems the allure of the permissive society requires superhuman feats of self-control. But the call of the future is too strong, a challenge too great to get lost in the blind alleyways of dissolution, drugs, and despair. Never has there been a more exciting time to be alive, a time of rousing wonder and heroic achievement. As they said in the film, Back to the Future, where we're going, we don't need roads. Well, today, physicists peering into the infinitely small realms of subatomic particles find reaffirmations of religious faith. Astronomers build a space telescope that can see to the edge of the universe and possibly back to the moment of creation. So yes, this nation remains fully committed to America's space program. We're going forward with our shuttle flights. We're going forward to build our space station. And we're going forward with research on a new Orient Express that could, by the end of the next decade, take off from Dulles Airport, accelerate up to 25 times the speed of sound, attaining low Earth orbit, or flying to Tokyo within 2 hours. same technology transforming our lives can solve the greatest problem of the 20th century. A security shield can one day render nuclear weapons obsolete and free mankind from the prison of nuclear terror. America. America met one historic challenge and went to the moon. Now America must meet another. To make our strategic defense real for all the citizens of planet Earth. Let us speak of our deepest longing for the future, to leave our children a land that is free and just and a world at peace. It's my hope that our fireside summit in Geneva, Mr. Gorbachev's upcoming visit to America, can lead to a more stable relationship.
Well, a bit of pie in the sky there in some way respects. The Orange Express didn't happen. The problems were both technological. It's extremely difficult to get something into orbit for single stage and to return it to Earth, flying from, Australia, say, to Europe or Asia in just one hop going via outer space is just not on at the moment, not technologically, and of course not financially. So Orient Express died a death after a fair bit of money was spent on it, though, trying to explore the technologies. And he didn't refer to it as Star Wars or the Strategic Defense Initiative, but it became the Strategic Defense Initiative, the idea of having X-ray shooting satellites in space that would shoot down missiles and so on, scared the heck out of Gorbachev and the other Soviets, but it didn't happen either. Again, a lot of money spent on it. Well, Reagan went on to make two more State of the Union speeches, but neither made any reference to space, let alone a space station. The 1989 State of the Union address was delivered by George Bush. Reference to space is limited to just four sentences. The Space Show has been unable to locate a recording of this 1989 address, so we shall read it here in the Sullen FM broadcast studio. I request funding for NASA and a strong space program, an increase of almost $2.4 billion over the current fiscal year. We must have a manned space station, a vigorous, safe space shuttle program, and more commercial development in space. The space program should always go full throttle up. And that's not just our ambition, it is our destiny. Well, although Canada, Japan, and Europe joined the space station program and a design was settled upon, costs continued to increase, seemingly out of control. It was given a jingoistic name, Freedom. The project came close to cancellation several times. It was the collapse of the Soviet Union that breathed new life into the project. Even though it meant another design change, elements of Russia's Mir 2 space station design were incorporated. The project adopted the name International Space Station. In 1993, NASA selected Boeing as the prime contractor and construction formally began. Russia launched the first module of Zarya in 1998 November. It was joined 2 weeks later by the United States Unity module. Together, these two modules formed a 34-ton orbital space station. Since then, dozens of other modules, trusses and solar panels have been added. This year, Russia plans to add more modules. Today, the International Space Station has solar panels spanning 108 meters. The pressurized modules have a length of 52 meters. Additionally, there are several side modules. The total mass in orbit is 420 tons. It orbits the Earth 15 times a day at an altitude of 400 kilometres and at a speed of 28,000 kilometres per hour. The modules are pressurised to normal air pressure, that is 101.4 kilopascals. The normal crew size is 6 and they are normally changed every 5 months. So there we have the state of the play. 30 years after Reagan initiated the project formally in his State of the Union speech. And as we said before, no mention of space in this year's State of the Union. This is The Space Show.
Reaching into your community, the great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.